you will see it, and you will rejoice in heart, and your strength will flourish as the tender grass, for the hand of Jehovah will be made known to his servants, and he will even foam at the mouth against his enemies. That's Isaiah 66, verse 14, our daily scripture for today, little children. The Word Green Version, 2003, is that particular translation of it. You will see it, and you will rejoice in heart, and your strength will flourish as the tender grass. For the hand of Jehovah will be made known to his servants, and he will even foam at the mouth against his enemies. Our daily article study is from the Ark of Urartu, once again, from chapter 7. This time it's paragraph 9. You note the picture, the illustration there. We missed one illustration earlier about the cemetery, of the cemetery of Confucius. There was an illustration, a photograph. Specifically a photograph. There it is. You notice the spacious walkway? There. Paved with rectangular stones and lined on both sides by a curb of about perhaps 5 inches height. Now today's study is from paragraph 9, which is also accompanied by a photograph. This time a photograph of Great Fireworks Night with these colors. Red, yellow, turquoise, orange, white, beautiful colors, just, radiating outwards in all directions from several central points of their explosions, and several dotted points of white light also interspersed among all of these different colored feathery extensions or paths, you know, the paths of the explosions, the paths of the products of the explosions, that the paths that these products take as the explosions occur, is in all directions, and so it radiates out like a flower, in a sense. Like some kinds of flowers, more than others, of course, that the kind that radiate in all directions, of which there are relatively fewer compared to the flowers which are more flat in their structure. But fireworks tend to be, you know, ejections of fire into many different directions at once. So they're very, spectacular, but they're many directional. You know, they're radiant in all these different directions. And so colorful. Now, to explain in this paragraph, which is given the date of 2011, March 15th, 0903 hours, the consideration of the problem that we now face, China and Shinar, is the Zhou Two Rivers. Stephen Covey wrote about that in his book, recounting the story of the goose who laid the golden eggs. Not that he mentioned Joe Two Rivers. That's not what is meant there. But if you recall, if you have ever heard the story of the goose who laid the golden eggs, it's a story about how there was a goose who laid golden eggs quite regularly. He laid these eggs, or she laid these eggs, rather. And the eggs that were laid were solid gold. And so every egg that came out, since it was made of solid gold, it was absolutely pure solid gold, the owner of the goose thought to gain more golden eggs, and so cut the goose open. And of course at that point the laying of the golden eggs ceased. So the greed led to a loss rather than a gain. So the end is the killing of the goose out of greed for golden eggs. The moral is to look after the goose and be more thankful. The idea would have been to allow the goose to lay the eggs. The same is true in any area of life where the temptation might be to try to increase production when the net result is only the complete destruction of the production machinery. My final comments of the day on the detective work which I am doing to search out my family origins. This is still reading this paragraph 7-9 of the Ark of Urartu, the Orient Express, are about method. Detective work is, I believe, very hit and miss, making it vital that a very large volume of material is looked at to find a very small quantity of available relevant material. In this case, the Yellow Emperor of China is possibly a key lead, because he is said to have lived in two places. Well, these places are separated by a relatively large distance. Qi Yu, written in Chinese with two characters, which are given in the article here, is said to be one ancestor of the Huaxia Chinese, and we identified him as Nimrod, or Belus. From the time of Nimrod in 2774 BCE, may we now consider a way to connect plausible scenarios to the Chinese history? Consider now. But what we really seek is a concrete relation between the history of Shinar and the Chinese history, and how simple. That's the study for today, the paragraph. A blessed brief single paragraph, which is from the article, The Ark of Urartu, Part 2, Chapter 7, Paragraph 9. So, I mean, I could talk about this a lot, because I did a lot of research, not just on this article, but over several, or more than several articles, but over a number of articles, I did a great deal of research, and I learned that most of what I was finding was what you would consider to be the chaff of the wheat. You know, it would just be thrown away. It wouldn't be true enough or good enough information. In fact, there would be zero truth in it. Of course, you know, it's either true or it's not true, you could say, right? I mean, in the case of truth, it's not really a question of relative. I mean, dates can be relative, but a lot of truth is either the best or it's only less than the best, which would be the enemy of the best, right? So it's either true or it's not true. a lot of these things. If it doesn't give you the accurate chronology, even in a relative sense, if it's wrong, like if it says that there's only 10 years that passed when there was actually 100 years, then that's not even relatively correct. So that's a useless piece of information. If you can get a sense of what appears to be the actual truth, then you discard all the other things that don't line up with it. But of course, there's a danger always in that, in discarding information or in choosing one path to history or choosing one piece of information instead of another piece. There's always a danger that you're wrong. And then I go, but it's very hit and miss. That's the idea of this kind of research. It's not finding things in 100% of everything that's looked at all. It's more like maybe 10% or maybe less, or maybe it's, well, some days are different than others. Some days you search all day and don't find, hopefully at the end of the day, you don't quit until you find something. Hopefully you do find something by the end of the day, if you don't give up. But no, some of the topics for which I was searching were extremely obtuse or difficult to find any information related to them. So we're trying to find this person, Chi Yu, and we're trying to find a way to connect the Chinese history from Shinar, which was Mesopotamia or the land of the Tower of Babel, to China, trying to connect the two together. That's what was mentioned here. But now that we've finished our study for today, I think we should look at, I want to look at this music. I just think this is some of my favorite music from the jazz improvisation that I was working on at the time, just playing around on the piano, really. But it was my part of my work. It was my work as a musician. My musical work is jazz on the piano, which is really 12-bar blues actually, and improvised as what stride piano, I guess you'd call it maybe. And it's I'm not even sure if this is what stride is. I think it is though, because the bass is striding along rather than shuffling. And, you know, the right hand just does what it wants, essentially. But let's hear it. I want to share this. I was listening to this today. I listened to both of these pieces. They're both, I'm fond of them both. I think this first one might be my favorite one. I'm not sure of these two. Or my choice. But the more I listen to them, the thing is about these, there's a lot of notes I don't play here. A lot of notes like that I'm capable of playing that I'm not playing. I'm restraining myself. That's what I hear when I listen to this. So this one's called The Hurrian Arc, Second Raw Take, version 305. And the date of that, what's it from? Do we know what date it is? I don't know. I don't think I have it. Oh, yeah, here it is. It's March 14th, 2011. What date was the article? March 15th, this paragraph. Okay. Of that same year, March 15th, 2011. And the music is from March 14th. 2011, with love. Let's hear that again. Yeah, that had a note at the end. I almost completely forgot about that. There's a little note, a bass note right at the end there. Maybe I can get back to it here. Let's see. Right there, yeah. So the next one is another, and keep in mind, these are completely improvisational, so none of it's planned. It's completely, but it's arrived. I mean, this way of playing is arrived at after a long series of other improvisational attempts or other recordings that were made. This is number 305 out of that series of, you know, several hundred recordings of improvisational stride blues, you know, that this is but it's completely, this is part of that series, but it's completely improvised. There's no planning other than what I might have played on the previous attempts that might have given me some ideas about, well, in the negative sense, I didn't want to play the same thing as I played previously. That was the only real planning that might have been in there. There was no planning in any of it. There was no, I was, the whole idea was to try to play something that was completely new, right, or original, but yet, you know, that would be of a very high quality or very, you know, interesting to the, and in, what's the word, stimulating to the mind, right? Very, logical in some way, that it would stimulate logic or thinking or joy, that would bring joy to the listener by its logic, you know, and see, the order that's contained in it is the logic, really, of anything. It's the order. Whatever order you can find in and create in the improvisational playing, That's what it's all about. But there's no planning. It's completely, like, dependent on what came before. So I'm even within the one song, there's whatever happened just prior is what's influencing what's coming next. It's a very unpredictable thing. Now let's listen to the next one, which is called Fifth Raw Take, version 312, Mix B. Today You Are Beautiful, it says. It's from the next day, March 15th, the same day, 2011, as the paragraph. Let's play that one. Now, I think that there's enough information in there that it's worth listening to it again, just to get another take on it. Thank you. it's important to note here too that the music is the only thing that's being used to enhance the mood here. There's no substance use of any kind to enhance the mood. It's all just the music. There's no, you know, so you have to get your mind in the right state to play that music at that level of whatever level you play at. But whatever, if you find it enjoyable, or whether you don't, you know, and I must say I find it extremely enjoyable when I'm in that right state of mind, but it's not a state of mind that is influenced by any substances, which are, you know, any substances that are specifically intended for that purpose. It's all, the only substances involved are food and water, you know, basically that's it. So, I mean, that's what we do. I mean, water that might have sugar in it if it's a sugary drink, but back in those days, I'm not sure what I was drinking. I don't like drinking sugary drinks anymore now. Right now, today, I'm drinking like my own homemade tea, cold brewed and cold stored, and just like iced tea, but without any additives. The problem with lemon is it will rot your teeth, or, you know, it's going to attack your teeth, and sugar is no better. Although I can put sugar in it, and because the xylitol is a completely phenomenal way of killing the bacteria that causes tooth decay. So in the xylitol gum that I chew, and in the toothpaste that I make at home, there's xylitol, and that's what kills all the bacteria that does the tooth decay. So I'm not worried about tooth decay. I can eat anything sugary. I'm not sure yet, though, because I'm still trying new food like licorice, and I'm not sure how. Maybe, hopefully the xylitol will continue to be the perfect solution to all of the things I'm eating. And it seems to be so far true that it just prevents all the tooth decay. And you can tell because it prevents the tartar buildup. My teeth remain almost completely smooth. You know, they might have a slight film or something on them during the day from the food I'm eating, but there's no tartar ever accumulating if I'm doing it right and killing the bacteria. But getting back to the music, this is music made in the most natural state of mind without any, I'm just going to say substances, because there are too many different substances that I don't want to categorize them. This is not done with the use of any mood enhancing substances of any kind. Okay, so it's just the joy of music, the joy of playing the piano in this case, but the drums were also done by yours truly, and I'm not sure how I did the drums. I'm pretty sure I did them on the synthesizer, but I'm not sure if I recorded them or just used the pre-recorded sample drum sounds that were, I think that's probably what I did. And the snare drums, you know, was the only drum I was using, just a snare. There's nothing else. I wasn't using any of the other drums. And I find a lot of pleasure in listening to just the snare track as I'm listening to this. There's a lot of pleasure in the snare track for me to listen to it. But the piano is another thing. So keeping it simple with the two tracks going against each other, playing off against each other, that to me is a lot of entertainment. I don't need much else at all, musically. Anyway, I need other things in my life, like food and water, and, you know, I need sleep, I need other things, you know, love. I need many other things besides music, but music is, it can be very simple, and in terms of how many tracks there are, you know. But I like to do multi-track too sometimes. That's it for today. It's November 22nd, 2024 of the Common Era. The time is 1656 hours North American Eastern Time. And thank you so much again for listening and watching. It's Ward Green here. I love you very much. In my behalf, this is Sissy. And this is Star saying bye for now. That was from the article, The Ark of Urartu. even the music was from that. And it's paragraph 7-9 or chapter 7, paragraph 9. The Ark of Urartu to the Orient Express, an article by yours truly and by Ann Ruth Rutledge, as co-author also. So bye for today.